Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by Jason Kirk as we review Transformers Ghostbusters Issue 2. We have a TFCon interview with comic book artist Livio Ramondelli, and Mondo has a new Transformers 86 movie poster exclusively for everybody. Today is Friday, July 19th, 2019, and this is episode 138 of Transmissions Alt Mode. Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast where...
There is no podcast, only Zool.
I'm your host, Yoshi, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions A-Team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
Mr. Jason Kirk.
How's your throat feeling after that one there, Yoshi?
Dude, like I've been really spending way too much time with deep throating herself. Thanks for joining us, Jason. It's nice to have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure as always.
You got anything to pimp, sir?
Actually, not really.
Okay.
I will throw this. By the time this episode comes out, it'll be probably too late. But RFC coverage of San Diego Comic-Con 2019 should be out at any moment now. So go ahead and check your podcatcher of choice to hear our takes on all the news that got revealed yesterday, Thursday, at SDCC. Maybe, just maybe, there'll be something new. Probably not, because they've already shown us everything.
You never know.
Nope.
Yeah, and anything exclusive you'll be able to buy, you know, next week.
Yep.
Yoshi.
So, Jeremy, I got a question.
Okay.
There are people out there who listen to our show.
A couple.
And those people might want to give us money so we can improve our show.
I would hope so.
Where should those people who have money and burning a hole in their pocket go?
If they have no better use for their money, they can go to transmissionspodcast.com/support.
That's right. And what do you get by giving us money? Do we give these guys any benefits? Do they, is it worth their time to give us their hard earned money?
Well, they get our endless love and respect, which is, you know, that you can't put a value on that.
You can't.
Also, my penis has grown 3 inches longer since I started giving money to the show. So there's that.
Your effects may differ.
Correlation does not necessarily equal causation. But we have different things at different levels. I think probably one of the biggest thing we offer is our Discord server, which has some Donatrion exclusive channels.
Yeah.
And at certain levels, you get to actually listen to us record the show live. Like we have Dinobot Maximize, DJ Running, and K-Girl listening to us as we record this right now.
All of which have offered input on what we were supposed to open the shows with. So yes. Not only do they give us money, we get to harness their brain power to help us make a better show.
Yeah.
And I understand that through the hard work of certain individuals on the podcast, I'm not going to name fucking names, we've got some shirts that people could buy.
We do.
Like, where can they buy these shirts? Because obviously if you go to transmissionspodcast.com, you're not going to see shit.
You can. Actually, on every podcast page, you will see some samples of the shirts. And transmissionspodcast.com/shop is where you can go buy them.
Now, I won't wear these shirts. We all know that. But they are fucking dope shirts. Don't take my word for it.
I think they look great. I wear mine all the time.
We host this show, the four of us, and from occasion, Jason Kirk. We host this show because, quite frankly, we're attention whores. Like, you guys listening to the show is huge. And one way we can see how many people are listening to us is just when you hit reshare or retweet or re-Instagram or whatever the hell they use. Like these things just, you know, if you can't give us money, don't want to give us money because we're a fucking podcast. We get it. But let somebody know. Get on your mom's computer and subscribe via iTunes. Like you can, there are little things you can do, Transmissions Army, to boost us, to make us a little bit more heard and help us out, because when we do have more money, we can do a better show. And it's dollars and cents at this point, guys. We're going to do the show for free. But
if we have more listeners, we have a better show. And sharing is free. It's a great way to support us. And more listeners means when we go to shows like TFCon, you know, we get to know more people that we never knew before. So,
yes. Also, I don't want to be forgotten because I don't know why. Like, fucking Charles has a template every time he hosts this show. But Transmissions is brought to you by Value Village. Value Village. Where the fuck else are you going to get a mint on card Cosmos for 99 cents? You ain't going to find that at no fucking TF Con, Value Village. With that said, let's go to comics news. And in comics news, the boys, Daryl and Charles, were at TF Con. Oops. And they got to sit down with fan favorite artist Livio Ramondelli and do a little interview with him. And it's a nice, short, awesome interview. And I think if Jeremy's magicry is working correctly, we can listen to that now.
All right. This is Charles, a.k.a. Big Z. I'm here at TF Con Toronto 2019 for Transmissions Podcast, sitting down with artist extraordinaire Livio Ramondelli to talk about the latest comic that's been announced for this year. So, Livio, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Nice to talk to you.
Good. How's the con been treating you this time?
It's good. It's good. It's Sunday, so I think everyone's a little tired. You know, they're long days and long nights, but it's great. I haven't done TF Con, I think, 2 or 3 years, so it's great to kind of see everyone here again. So
nice. Yeah,
it's been a great weekend.
Great. So we just recently heard you got a new comic announced, so Transformers Galaxies.
Yeah.
And so you're working on the first story arc?
So Galaxies is going to be an anthology. It's going to be like the Spotlights, except a little bit longer format. So the first four issues are going to be the Constructicons. So it's me and Tyler Blazinski is writing it, and then after the four, it's going to shift to another creative team and other characters. Which I think is great. I mean, the Transformers is like such a rich universe. It's great to finally show like a lot of other stories. So
Yeah. And yeah, well, I mean, if you've done lots of work on the previous IDW continuity,
yeah.
I think in particular the Primacy was it Autocracy, Monstrosity, Primacy
yep.
series.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the one shots with John Barber focusing on the Dinobots.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So those are all really cool stories.
Oh, thanks.
And now working on the next series of Transformers Galaxies.
Yeah.
So what was it like working with a new writer, Tyler Blazinski?
It was really cool. Like Tyler's a great guy. So Tyler is. His background is he was a reporter and a writer and a founder for this company called Vox Media, which is a giant media company. And he has had this story he's wanted to tell forever about the Constructicons. It's meant so much to him since he was a kid. Like a lot of us have those stories we really want to tell. So he's really like put his like heart and soul into it. And he's really enthusiastic. He really wants fans to like it. So it's been fantastic. And I think what I like about his story is it really sort of humanizes the Constructicons. Like you see them as this kind of like this labor class that built Iacon and then weren't allowed to live there. You know, the minute they finish this beautiful city, they're sort of exiled to start working on this moon and build that up. And so at night, when they're done, they kind of look at this star that they built and they don't get to live there. And it's a really cool story. And yeah, he's done a great job. Like eventually, like the tragedy, what happens to them. It's like setting the groundwork for that is very cool.
Nice.
So yeah.
So in the previous work, I know we talked about like you've been focusing on art duties, but you've also contributed some of the story ideas as well. And
yeah.
Things you've worked on.
Yeah.
Collaborations you've worked on.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of that here too.
A bit. I mean, Tyler for this one, Tyler's really had a lot of this really thought out, like those scenes and locations he's had in his mind for years.
Okay.
Some of the things like the action sequences, he there was a lot more freedom, and John Barber and I kind of worked that way too, where. Like, I think in Salvation, we did this Triptychon Devastator fight, and I choreographed most of that, if not all of it, if I remember. So, like, so I enjoy doing that. That collaborative process is great when you feel like you can kind of put your own ideas in.
Awesome.
So, yeah, yeah.
Do you have, I know it's looking out in the future, but are you looking to do any more Transformers work in the next year?
We'll see. I mean, these four issues are going to take a bit of time. I just finished the first one. And then there's definitely a lot of other projects I'm working on, like non-Transformers stuff that I'd like to do. So it was really kind of Tyler's story that like lured me back to Transformers because I was working on other stuff in general. But I was happy to be involved. So we'll see. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Livio, for talking to us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah.
We'll definitely be looking out for Transformers Galaxies this fall.
Yeah, yeah.
We're looking forward to it.
Cool. Hope you like it.
All right. Thanks. All right.
Yep. See ya.
All right.
Well, that was an excellent interview from Charles and Livio Ramondelli. I'm glad he was able to have time to get that put in. And we're going to be looking forward to that book. And I think...
Yeah, and we got some information that we hadn't seen before about the comics.
Yeah. And depending on how that information comes out, Livio's either in a whole lot of fucking trouble or not.
Or maybe because this episode comes out as San Diego's coming out, it'll already be announced.
Oh, I see. He's going to be at San Diego. That fucker's traveling, man.
He's going to be at New York, as we were going to talk about later.
Somebody's excited for New York. That's it for comics news this week, gentlemen. Let's move on to our comic review.
In comics this week, we have Transformers Ghostbusters number 2. This is written by Eric Burnham, art by Dan Schoening, colors by Luis and Antonio Delgado, letters by Tom B. Long, who will be missed soon. Editor David Marriott and Tom Waltz, and assistant editor Megan Brown.
Also, it's a book actually worth reading.
Oh, there you go, folks.
Don't spoil the whole review. All right. We have three covers. Cover A is part two of the connecting cover by Dan Schoening and Luis Antonio Delgado. Cover B says, I Ain't Afraid of Starscream's Ghost by Priscilla Tramontano. It is Starscream's Ghost in the kind of circle slash thing like the Ghostbusters logo. And he is doing two, which means, you know, he believes that Ghostbusters 2 is the better movie. And retailer incentive cover, Crimzy Gets Busted. This is by Andrew Griffith and Thomas Deere. And this has the Ghostbusters fighting Starscream's ghost and a bunch of Crimzeeks.
Crimzeek!
Yeah. So, Jason, which one of these is your favorite?
So, I've been good this whole week so far. I haven't really sworn much, but fuck, this is tough because I love all... So, cover A, obviously, is part of that big, gigantic one that Schoening and Delgado were doing.
Delgado.
Which, if I was buying the physical copies, was probably what I'd be going for. Then you have Priscilla Tramontano doing Starscream, and I love how she draws the Seekers, so instantly I love that one too. But then you have Andrew Griffith. He's got this great, like, in between of, like, the movie Ghostbusters and the cartoon Ghostbusters we see in the comic. It's so good. But I think I'm going to give the nod to Priscilla, because she also does her own colors in this too, and she does a great job with making Starscream look a ghost-like. Not a knock against the other two at all. I love all three of these covers the same, but I'm going to give it to Priscilla because she did that little edge to put her over the top there.
Yeah, it's 100% her. All right, Yoshi, how about you?
You know, I want to point out the first issue had, I think, four covers listed out of six covers that were available, because IDW couldn't be bothered to let fans know what two covers they would never know about to be able to complete the collection. And now we're down to three covers an issue, which is telling, I guess. But I'm going with Priscilla Tramontano for the win.
Nice. You gonna make a clean sweep there, Jeremy?
If he knows what's good for him.
No, I'm not. I mean, I love all of the covers this week, but I've got to give it to the retailer incentive. I love particularly the colors, how, you know, the Crimzeeks are just so much brighter than everything, and you can see that reflected on the faces of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And I just think it looks great, but this is a week where I think all three covers are just excellent. So
yeah, unfortunately we have to kill you though, because you chose incorrectly, but we respect your decision.
We have to kill him out of respect.
Yes.
That means you have to do the whole review.
All right. You can live for
done.
Five
this book kicked ass. Go get it. We're over. Good night, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Yep. See you next time.
And scene.
No fun. Into the actual review. Not done by Yoshi.
You worked really hard on this, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
When I was supposed to be doing other things, I worked hard on this.
Look, your sacrifice is not in vain. I'm curious to hear your take on it. I could just tell. I appreciate that you took the time to provide this for our listeners.
All right. Well, let's start with the summary here. In a surprising move for comics, Ectronomus, Diametron, and the Ghostbusters do not immediately fight after encountering each other at the end of the previous issue.
Pissing Daryl off to no end.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. It is a convention in comics that they completely broke here. Ectrotron explains that he's from another planet, and he's a bit surprised that the Ghostbusters aren't intimidated by his size and appearance. But if you've seen what they've seen, it's clear that he's not the oddest thing that they've encountered. He explains that he was tracking a signal that is now located inside their trap. Ray isn't convinced that Ectotron isn't just really a ghost inhabiting their vehicle, but Egon is convinced that it isn't. But he also refuses to accept that he's an alien either. Not getting anywhere with politeness, Eck fires a short electric charge into the trap, and Starscream's ghost is released. Starscream immediately starts firing on everyone, and once undercover, Ray and Winston complain that they always tell people it's a bad thing to cut the power to something, and no one ever believes them. Eck is surprised that Starscream is the signal he was tracking. He thought it was just a hologram before, but now he's convinced that Starscream is real. The Ghostbusters fire their proton beams at Starscream, holding him for the moment, and Starscream pleads for a truce. Not really believing him, but convinced that they can capture them again, they release him so he can speak to Eck. He explains that the Autobots are his last hope and goes into the destruction of Cybertron. He describes how Gozer used a giant Starscream to destroy everyone, but at the last moment, Megatron was given an offer by a masked creature named Krimzeek. Once the offer was accepted, Megatron was seemingly destroyed, but Starscream's elation was cut short as a ghost of Megatron appeared. Krimzeek enslaved the rest of the Decepticons, but Starscream was able to escape and eventually found Earth. He discovered he could inhabit and control the vehicles on the planet, but he could not transform them. Eck realizes this because he needs the Allspark. The Ghostbusters are sensing that there's something wrong, and Egon picks up something else nearby when, with a Shazaka boom, a tiny Krimzeek appears. Starscream freaks out and says to kill it, and Venkman gets him in a trap pretty easily. It doesn't stay there, though, and explodes out of the trap. Then they think they can ground the creature and dispel it. Now recruited to the Ghostbuster, Eck joins in and zaps it while the team has it in their proton beams. This works, and the Krimzeek is destroyed. However, Eck's communicator was also destroyed. He agrees to go back with the Ghostbusters to try and fix it, while Starscream smirks, believing that he's played the fools. This is a very fun book. The art still is on point. I'm iffy on the Ghostbusters looks themselves, but it's the way they look in the comics, and you know it's just a melding of the two. The Transformers are drawn very well throughout the entire book, and that's usually where we have a criticism. I like seeing the destruction of Cybertron. It does look like at some point that I think on this first scene that we see a shockwave being destroyed. Which, if that's true, I'm thinking it might be like an intentional animation error in homage to the G1 series. But I loved how this goes through, how like the reveal of Krimzeek and Starscream being Starscream. So I'm looking forward to where this goes. Yoshi, you are enthusiastic about this book. What did you think?
So let me say a couple of things. This was a wicked fast read.
It was.
Stupidly fast. And that is not a result of there being a lack of text to read on the pages. There's plenty to read. It was just written in such a way and paneled up in such a way that it was just like, boom. I literally got to the end and went, whoa. And I missed the to be continued part. Like, well, that was it. It was for me, stupidly fast to read. Now, I will say this. I'm enjoying this story, and I'm going to say this with a huge and glaring but. There are some issues in this that I'm seeing that I had with Transformers and Star Trek. First of all, the story in Star Trek was dull. I really liked the Enterprise Transformer, though. That looked visually cool, and I was okay with that. I didn't like the elements that were non-G1 that were added. I had a big problem with that, which is why I didn't buy the book. Same reason why I'm not going to buy this book, though the story is massively better than Star Trek and Transformers. The Allspark is not a G1 thing. Quit trying to make it a G1 thing. What the fuck? And the fact that the Ghostbusters don't look like how we would think the comic book interpretation of the Ghostbusters would look like. You say it each week, Jeremy, but it's not a deal killer for you. I mean, if you want $4 of my money for each issue, you know, do as advertised. I mean, you're supposed to be, 84 Transformers and 84 Ghostbusters, and that's not what we're getting. You're misleading people. Story's wicked good. I don't fault anyone for buying it. It's entertaining, but it's also the type of thing I wouldn't want to show off because it's not true G1. And now, send the complaints to Yoshi at transmissionspodcast.com. Jason, what did you think? Are you a stickler like I am, or are you buying this and proudly displaying it and showing it off and enjoying the story and loving the art? And I'm going to stop here.
Is anyone a stickler like you are? Is that possible?
Probably not.
No, a lot of stuff you mentioned, I get it, but it doesn't really bother me per se. Having actually read, I think it's only like the first issue of when this Ghostbusters run started, because at one point it was like either free on Comixology or they gave it away for a dollar or something. So I'm familiar with the look of the
There was a Nash can that was free.
I think it was a full issue, but it might have been the Ash can. You could have been right about that. So I'm familiar with the look, and they've actually, I know in the actual Ghostbusters stories, they have crossed over with the Ghostbusters we remember. I know they did the real Ghostbusters from the cartoon, and I think they actually did the real life ones as well. So there's like this, there's different universes of Ghostbusters. So knowing that, I'm okay with this as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a quick read, but it's a good read. The story really moves, but you still get all the information you need. I was really impressed with the first issue because I kind of thought it did like an end game, because you get the introduction of Gozer arriving on Cybertron, and then you just get a black page, mostly black page, where it's just like, and Cybertron was destroyed, the Decepticons are dead. I was like, holy shit, we didn't even get to see it. and we get the explanation from Starscream, and this is the what all happened and everything. And I think that's a really compelling story. I like the idea of making Crimzeek like this entity, but there's still the other Crimzeeks around it. And that's a really cool, it's a simple design, but I think it's really cool. The art on the Transformers is spot on G1, just the way it should be. I think they pulled that off for the most part in Transformers Star Trek, but like you said, when you add like characters like Arachnid where we didn't have a G1, then it's a little jarring when you're trying to combine those couple things. But there's things I really notice, I really enjoy, like every time you see Egon during the whole discussion parts, he's constantly looking at his PKE meter. He never takes his eyes off it. And that's really, and that's funny, but also he's the one who realizes Crimzeek's coming. So there's a good, there's a story purpose to it as well. Despite the fact this is the Ghostbusters writing team, everything Starscream said, I heard in Chris Latta's voice, like word for word. The writer has Starscream down to a T, as far as I'm concerned. I could easily hear Chris Latta say every word. Same with Welker and Megatron, although Megatron barely speaks in the flashbacks. And I can hear, I don't know if I can hear Bill Murray more or Lorenzo Music more when the Venkman character talks. Probably more Murray, just because I watch the live action movie pretty much a couple times a year. So I'm more attuned to that. But I, even though they're technically different characters, it still feels close enough to me there. I am really enjoying it. Like I said in the toy show when I showed off the Ectotron, like I could see this becoming a character I really, really enjoy. And I might actually keep the toy just because I really, really enjoy what's going on in this book and I'm enjoying the character. And I like how he's kind of drafted into the team, and all he has to do is ground Crimzeek. That's his only job. And I think that page of the battle on Cybertron, you get the, you get the Sentinel, the Guardian robot, you got your Bruticus, you see Devastator ripped in half, Predaking gets his ass kicked, and the dialogue with like Shockwave and Soundwave is exactly what you would expect. Well, okay, Soundwave talks a little more than at this point we have to be used to Soundwave talking more just because he always does in these comics. More than his simple one-liners from like the TV show and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that as a two-page spread in the physical book.
Yes, yeah, that's
or just just not split because this is a PDF that it's two pages.
Right, exactly. And to your question, Yoshi, yeah, I actually am buying this, so I will get to see the splash page like that. I'm enjoying it enough to spend money, which is right now I think I buy all of like. I will admit it right now, I don't buy the other Transformers comic. I listen to what you guys, I listen to you guys' review, and I listen to when Andy and Mikey talk about it on Moonbase too. That's how I keep up with the comic. I don't buy it because the story, I know it's moving along a little better now, but it started out so slow that I just couldn't really see spending as much money as I was going to spend on it.
Right.
Yeah, I can't wait to, now you said that, Jeremy, I cannot wait to see that as a 2-page spread now. So yeah, I'm loving this. I'm glad I got to talk about this. And oh, and the coloring when Starscream comes out of the trap. So good. This is a great book. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah. One thing I really like about this is none of the characters are played as being stupid.
No.
Like when they immediately don't trust Starscream and know it's likely a trap when they're going into talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you rarely see that these days with, particularly with the comics that we've read and the Transformers stuff. A lot of times that would have just been played off as they're ignorant of the situation. They literally talk to each other. They're like, you know, do you actually buy that? Nope.
Yep.
I mean, it's this. I like how all of the characters are treated respectfully. And you would think with everything the Ghostbusters have seen, they would immediately be distrustful of anyone saying that, you know, I'm want a truce and, you know, trying to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. And I also listen to the Starscream as Chris Latta. These creators really know their Transformers, and I really appreciate that. We have seen some very bad crossovers as it IDW was late at getting these on the review site for us, and Yoshi was about to pull out the Transformers Avengers crossover for the review this week. So be thankful that we got this, and it was such a great book. So maybe next time, Yoshi.
Well, next time we have to review the actual Transformers proper comic. I'm reading fucking Avengers. You guys can hear my take on it or not. Put me on mute. This is what I'm doing. I want my time to be used for entertainment value.
All right. Well, that is it for this review. We'd like to know what you think, so send us some feedback. Let us know if you're enjoying this crossover, what you think about it. Transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. And I guess we will move on to media news.
For media news this week, San Diego Comic-Con 2019, Mondo exclusive poster for Transformers the Movie. So Mondo's got a poster coming out that you can get from San Diego Comic-Con. It's a new take on the Transformers movie poster. It will be available on Saturday, July 20th. Their booth number is 435.
Yoshi, this is an exclusive that is also available online.
Is it really?
It's your favorite thing.
Do these guys like use words and haven't ever owned a Webster dictionary?
They literally do not know what the words mean.
So I'm guessing at the convention it's $55 and online it's $75.
Looks like it.
The poster is a screen printing. It's designed by Cesar Moreno. And it measures at 24 by 36, which I believe is standard movie poster size. Yeah, and look at our show notes for a picture of this. It's a cool picture. I really dig it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I really have. You know, I've got no excuse for not buying it, and I'm not going to buy it. And I have no excuse, fan base. I'm sorry. You want to get it, Jeremy?
I would love to get it.
You have been showing off nothing but posters the last three trips to the stores. You have to, if you want to have this reputation as the poster guy, you got to get this.
I don't. I have a reputation as the cheap guy. I don't have $75 in my budget that I can spend on a single poster right now.
But it's an exclusive poster, Jason. It's exclusive. Unless shouldn't I go online. Jeremy get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He fucking. God damn it. It's going to be you and me next week. This is horseshit.
That works for me. I'm not busy.
Okay.
Jeremy is wanting to save his funds for a commission at New York. So.
By who?
Likely Andrew Griffith. I'm talking with Andrew about a possible Superman commission.
You and Superman.
I have that sketchbook I'm doing.
You and Superman. You don't have the blank Superman where the whole thing's fucking blank.
I do. That's my sketchbook.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting an artist to take a page and do their version of Superman.
That's awesome. I want to see that thing when it's done and then try and steal it. That's it for Transformers Media News this week. Let's move on to convention news.
In convention news, the first thing is something that's not really new. It's a few weeks old, but I ran into this from geekdad.com. The host here, Sean, was discussing convention safety with Greg Berger, kind of from the convention, I guess, guest perspective. And I just thought it was kind of interesting. I ran across it, and with TFCon and stuff, we were kind of light on news, and I thought that I'd bring this up. Greg doesn't really have many bad experiences to talk about in here, whereas I'm sure other guests probably, you know, might.
Yeah, let's put this in perspective, Jeremy. Does Greg have to pay for a room? No. Does he have to pay for access to the con?
I'm talking more like with, you know, being harassed and stuff.
Right.
It, you know, but he also, he goes into kind of like handlers and what their role are, you know, for the guests. And I think that's something that we don't really get seen talked about a lot. So, you know, I just thought it was a nice read. It's a quick read. So, you know, just thought I'd throw it in here. Next thing we have is TF Nation has announced their full schedule. As we mentioned on the toy show this week, this is a largely media focused schedule. They have a panel about Visionaries, Transformers Oddities by Chris McFeely that goes into projects that never happened. Marty Eisenberg, creator of Transformers Animated, has a panel. The aforementioned Greg Berger is going to be there. He talks about his acting career. There is Peter Spellos is having a panel. He was the voice of Skybyte in the 2001 Robots in the Skies series. Probably one of the greatest Transformers characters ever. So he will have a panel here. So check out the link in our show note. And if you're going to be going, give us some feedback on how the convention went, what you liked. I know that I've heard the script reading panel, the animated script reading panel, is not going to be recorded. That's the stuff I've heard. So, you know, I would love to hear how that went. So,
well, if you look at Saturday around 3 o'clock, you'll see I'm hosting a panel on how to cover conventions for a podcast.
At TF Nation?
Yeah.
Did not see that.
I'm so full of shit. That's why.
You are. Yeah, completely full of shit. And we're going to close up convention news with New York Comic Con. We haven't really seen a lot of official announcements, but through conversations with Andrew Griffith on Twitter this weekend and from what Charles learned talking to Olivia Ramondelli, both of them are going to be at New York Comic Con this October. And also when I was looking over their website, Chris Uminga is going to be there. And I'm sure this is someone that we really haven't heard of or talked of about a lot. He did a collaboration between Foot Locker and Puma and Hasbro and did some designs that looks like they were on shirts and stuff kind of around the time of the Bumblebee movie. And you know, there's some interesting kind of cartoony designs. But he's there. He's listed as Transformers artist. We've never really talked to him before. So I think since I'm going to be going to New York Comic Con, I'm going to look him up and try to talk to him.
Cool.
So that is it for convention news.
And that will wrap up the show this week. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to be on the show, send us a voicemail. We're accepting voicemails at transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear your compliments. And more specifically, we want to hear how we're doing bad. What can we improve? What are your ideas? What are your thoughts? Let us know. You can join us on Discord and give us feedback there that we'll talk about on the show. You can send us email. You can leave a comment on our YouTube page. I mean, if you can think about it, we'll read it. So check that out.
Do we really want Jason to replace Daryl? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, yes, that should be a question we ask. And yes, we do want him to replace. I'm not going to back down from that. So that's it, gentlemen. Thank you all for listening to us this week, and we'll catch you next week. Have fun at San Diego Comic-Con. Bye.
Bye.
Remember, if anyone asks if you're a god, say yes.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Mark.
All right. Well, now I know how to piss you guys off.
Yeah. No, that's just, there's just some jokes you don't do.
Well, it's just because every week it happens for real.
That's hilarious.
There you go, DJ Ronan. We have shrugged off responsibility.
But here's your credit.
This is what your donator dollar gets you. Just go. Are you ready?
Waiting on you.
Okay. Welcome to... See, now I'm nervous because you guys are listening.
This is the studio.
Welcome to Trans... Fucking Jesus, you son of a bitch. Are we done? Are we done with the ha-ha's, everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Got my eye on you, Jason.
Okay.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast where... God, okay.
And if it's not, Mike will make it appear as if everything was working properly.
Fucking Mike, taking it for the team.
Oh, jeez.
I'm...
Mike, you cut that shit. You cut that, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, kids. I'm sorry we got to move to a private room to do the comic book because...
Yeah, hopefully I don't end up on an antibiotic like I did last time I went into a private room.
Look, what you and Daryl do in your own free time is to be left there.
He said sorry a lot.
Just don't turn on a black light.
Well, oh, is that what?
That's my fault.
Oh, is that why my foot's... Oh.
You remember the last time you and Daryl were here?
Sorry.
By the way, fucking gross, you two. Bow, but down, but bow.
That was actually really
well
done.
That should be the new soundboard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Flip it.
All right. So that is it.
And that is how you make a Transmissions episode.